Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690. Pierre McGuire on TSN 690 is brought to you in part by Dagwood Sandwiches and Salads. Bite into Dagwood's fully loaded, fabulous new oven-grilled beef and pepperoni sandwiches. Dagwood's delicious.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know what, Mitch? Bob McKenzie should be here.
He's a big hip fan, huh?
Oh, boy, is he ever. He's tight with Gord, too.
You're in town. If you've been following Pierre the last couple of days, it's Pierre's wild and crazy adventure to get back to the Quebec Pee Wee Hockey Tournament, where son Ryan was in action, whose team
we
knocked off.
We went down like a power window today. Actually, it was a tight game. We lost to the Montreal Juniors. It was tight, 2-1, right basically to the end. But we ran out of gas, and they didn't, and they deserve a lot of credit. That's the kind of tournament it is. Once you get to the knockout stage, it's basically survival of the fittest, so they deserve a lot of credit. The Montreal Juniors are very, very good.
All right, so for those just playing catch-up here, Ryan plays for?
Mid-Fairfield Rangers.
All right, so is that a Connecticut team?
Connecticut team,
yeah.
Correct.
And so how does this work? How many teams are invited to this tournament?
Oh, my gosh, I couldn't even tell you.
It's like a ton,
so
right?
Levels. We play in the AAA level. But
is that the highest level?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And then there's double A, there's double A elite, there's A, there's double B,
Okay, yeah. It's a crazy amount of teams, but the triple A level is as good as it gets. So
yeah,
the
NHL for 12-year-olds, that's what it is.
It really is, right?
It really is.
I mean, Quebec City is packed right now. You can't get a hotel room, right?
It's phenomenal. It's fantastic. It's a great event. It's a phenomenal event. One of the best young players in the province of Quebec is a young man from Saint-Hyacinthe. His name is Elliot Denoyer. And Ryan played with him a lot for the Gouverneur when we lived here in Montreal. And I watched his team play today. Now, they're playing double-A elite, and he was fantastic. He's a great player. He will be a top star in the Quebec Major Junior League, and you can see that when he's 12 years old. But I had a chance to visit with Elliot and his father today. It was great because I haven't seen them in a while. About a year ago, we were playing in a tournament up in Buffalo against them. So it's great to watch these young players because you see them when they started at about 8 or 9, and now you see where they are when they're 12, and you can just see the future. Now, the race for all the young fathers out there and mothers who have children starting in hockey now at 4 and 5 and 6, the race in this thing, if you're really into it, it starts at 12. It doesn't mean that the race finishes at 13. The race starts at 12. Anything you do before that should be fun and games and keep it going. If your child doesn't have the passion to play, stop. It's that hard of endeavor. If he has or she has the passion to play, keep it going. But the race starts at 12.
I'm glad you mentioned she, because you know what we were all doing 1 year ago today?
Yes, watching the gold medal game, and I was calling it with Doc Emmerich in Sochi.
The women. It was fantastic. What a great one of the greatest moments in Canadian sports history was 1 year ago today when the women did what they did.
Can you imagine if the Americans would have scored into the empty net and not iced it? It's over. It's over. But they didn't. And Kevin Dineen, who was the coach of the Canadian team at the time, did a magnificent job keeping his ladies under control in terms of not panicking when they fell behind. I was down there between the benches calling the game, and it was awesome what he did. I was so happy for Kevin. Did a great job.
All right, so along those lines, this is getting a lot of play today. Mitch Gallo will explain the context. We're about to hear from a young Morgan Riley in Toronto.
Yeah, basically Morgan Riley was talking about the current Leafs and how difficult the journey has been in the last couple months or so.
If you approach every day like it's a chore to come to the rink, that's the way it's going to be. But you have to have a positive outlook on it. You have to be able to put everything that's happening aside and just worry about doing your job, because that's what you're here to do. You're not here to, you know, be a girl about it and, you know, really worry about it. You just got to, you know, put your head down, do your job, work hard, and, you know, try to make life easier on the people around you.
He's 20 years old. He's 20 years old. He's learning on the fly. He's been rushed into the league. His pedigree is phenomenal. He will be a star player in the league. Can't say enough good things about him. I know people probably don't like some of the words that he used there.
Well, you know, I know you don't want to be a girl about it. I mean, come on,
he's
2015.
20 years old.
I know, but it's just
Western
I don't want to.
Trust me, if you're looking for decorum, don't go play in the Western Hockey League. Okay, he's a kid that played in the Crush Can. Well, actually, the Crush Can doesn't exist anymore. He played in Moose Jaw in the big new rink now. used to be the crush can, where when you pulled out of there, you stopped at the AMW before you either drove over to Medicine Hat or to Swift Current, or you went to Regina, or you went down to Wilcox to Notre Dame. Trust me, I did it many times. That's what makes me laugh. You really want to go on a hockey expedition? Go work it.
Okay,
you
but
crucifying these kids. Nobody's crucifying.
Just pointing out that it's a.
And I don't mean you.
Yeah, but some of us
ready to jump on this kid. They don't know where he comes from.
You know, some of us are a little ultra sensitive. I have two daughters, as you know, and one
I
of them
a daughter too.
And one of them was a heck of an athlete, yep. Better than half the guys in the hood. Believe me.
I believe you. I know them both.
So, and they were, you know, one of the reasons they started playing hockey was because of what the team did in Salt Lake City.
Which was phenomenal. Hey, that was basically, of all the Olympics that Haley Wickenheiser was part of for Canada, I think that was probably the best one she played in. I thought that was her best performance. I was there with Gord Miller and Bob McKenzie, and I thought Haley was phenomenal. Haley's a really good friend and somebody I respect a lot. She's done so much. She and Jaina Heffert in particular have done so much for women's hockey in Canada. Carolyn Ouellette's another one. I think the world of her. She was phenomenal. You know what? You want to talk about interviews? I did some unbelievable. I have the privilege of interviewing so many great hockey people. Carolyn Ouellette in Sochi may have been one of the most astute analysts of hockey that I've ever been around. So, you know what? When it comes to hockey, I'm totally on the women's side of things. I totally respect where they're at. But for, you know, to go after Morgan Rielly, if people are going to do that today, oh, man, I'm not sure. That's probably a line he heard from his coaches when he was playing in Moose Jaw.
Yeah, but, you know, if you're going to complain about that kind of quote-unquote attitude, he could probably turn around and look at some of his teammates and use them as a better example.
But you know me, and I'm trying to make this a fair fight. He's 20 years old.
But I also wanted to point out to our listeners that there's a reason why they're talking about this in Toronto and elsewhere right mm-hmm. now. And if they hadn't heard the clip, now they have.
Yep, that's fair. That's more than fair. And so here's, you know, what'll be interesting, because I know you're into, like, how do you build a team? I know you're into that because I know your baseball feelings and what the Expos used to do. And they were as good or better than any team in sports in terms of building teams. They really were. And you would agree with me, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. They were the best in baseball.
So here's what I would say. If I were a media member in Toronto, making my living doing the beat of the Toronto Maple Leafs Saturday, I'd want to know, after I hear that soundbite, what did Brendan Shanahan do? What did he do?
He called him into his office and said, I understand what you're saying, but, you know, it's 2015.
Do you think he did that?
I don't know. I would hope that's what he did.
That's the question that has to go. And this is, why do I pose the question? Because it comes down to the kind of standard you want to create as a team. So Morgan Rielly's gone through, I almost called him Morgan Stanley because he's going to have that much money. But Morgan Rielly is going to go up the ladder and he's going to be a dominant player in the league. He will be. Unless he gets hurt, he will be. What kind of standards do you create for a 20-year-old? How are you going to teach him what you want the Toronto Maple Leafs to be? If a member of the media in Toronto doesn't ask Brendan Shanahan what he did with Morgan Rielly, then that's on them. But if Brendan Shanahan gets asked a question he can't answer, that's on him.
Pierre, you know, a few years ago now, when Eric Cole signed with the Canadiens, I was covering training camp, and I remember talking to him, and I was like, wow, this guy, he's a breath of fresh air. He's saying all these things that other people on the Canadiens don't say. I didn't cover any practices for a while, and I hadn't spoken to him in a while. I go back 2 months later, cover a practice. I speak with Eric Cole. It's like night and day. He is a completely different player in front of the media. And I thought to myself, I'm like, okay, wow, this guy got some kind of media training from management of the Canadiens, because that's how they do it here. They want their guys to be in a certain light when it comes to being in front of microphones.
Fair. So
maybe you can enlighten us to what it's like around the league when it comes to media training. What kind of training do these guys get, and how much does it differ from city to city to city?
Well, first of all, if you're one of the top 50 draft picks, you go to basically an orientation program. I'm part of that. They usually have it at the draft now, but it's changed, and they have it in different places. I think last year they had it in West Virginia, if I remember correctly. But you do. You go to a media training situation. You go to a drug and alcohol situation. It's all done to make sure that at least they do it with the top 50. And I'm sure teams do it with all their draft picks, but the top 50 guys get it right from the league. And so it's pretty significant. And the media trainers are actually really good, really good. I enjoy listening and watching them perform. But, again, I think for Eric Cole, outside of his short spurt in Edmonton, most of his time was in Carolina, where it's a little bit different. They're looking for a big soundbite. There's not a lot of media. You don't have to do it bilingually. Things can't be misinterpreted because of the different linguistic situations that happen. But I would say for Montreal, and Max was really strong in this, Pat Turetti, I think, and PK is too, they're not afraid to say things. I think Montreal does it well. I will say this, and I say this with great pride. Never once when I worked for the Montreal Canadiens in terms of doing the radio shows over 3 years, never once was I ever editorialized. Never once. And I said some pretty strong things about the lack of success for the team. Never once did they try to editorialize me.
And just moments ago, Mark Masters, who does a great job covering the Leafs for TSN, he's got some quotes from Morgan Rielly, who has apologized, saying, quote, "It's a phrase that has to be taken out of today's society, and I know I can't be using that. It was careless by me. I didn't mean it the way it was taken, and I'm sorry for the way it came across."
So there's a 20-year-old that, as soon as that was said, he got brought in, and I can assure you that that's something that he heard from coaches that worked with him in the Western Hockey League. I can assure you of that.
End of story.
Correct. Well done. Way to go.
David Bolin, 2-for-4 this year, is going to try and win it. As he crosses the blue line, the right shooter to the slot, slowly stops it and scores. And the Florida Panthers erase a 2-goal deficit, beat the Canadiens 3-2 in a shootout.
Non, mais c'est super. Des gars comme Sikash, des gars comme LR. Ça a quand même 2 mois qu'ils n'ont pas marqué. Donc, j'y allais avec des gars qui. Avec des habilités. Hein?
Mm. Well, one other thing, though. Yes. He didn't have Alex Galchenyuk.
No, he didn't have Galchenyuk, and he didn't have Parenteau.
Who... I know, come on. Somebody give him a break? I thought the team played well.
They did. Roberto Luongo. Was Roberto Luongo?
Luongo's played in Montreal.
Was Roberto Luongo not named a star last night? I mean, he was their best player.
Of course he was. Way to go. Bring some reasoning to this.
But I mean, the Seacatch and Eller were really good last night. They played their Seacatch.
Mm-hmm.
What?
I agree.
No, they were really, really good. I want to see them in the shootout. Ahead of Thomas Pekanis can't score if you gave him an empty net in a shootout.
Okay, but wait a second. Plekanec is coming off a huge goal in Detroit the other night. So as a coach, you're thinking long-term. You're not thinking short-term. I'm telling you.
Thomas Plekanec, as Tony mentioned on the Friday scrum, replayed at 6 o'clock. He's never scored in a shootout since Michel Therrien has taken over as coach.
Okay, so can I ask you one question?
Sure.
And I agree with the numbers don't lie, right? The numbers don't. So that's more than fair. Everybody here wants Jaromir Jagr, right? You would agree?
Well, better than what's going on right now, yeah.
But, yeah, okay.
I would say so.
How's Jaromir in the shootout?
But I don't know.
Everybody would want him in. Jaromir doesn't want to take the shootout. I was there one night when he told the coach, I'm not going to take the shootout.
There are a lot of guys like that around the NHL.
Yes, there are. I'll give you a quick one. In the 1992 All-Star Game in Philadelphia, I was coaching in it, and back then coaches went on the ice with their skates on. Joe Sackett came to me and he said, Pierre, please don't put me in the shootout. Tell Mr. Bowman. And he called him Mr. Bowman. Tell Mr. Bowman I don't want to do the shootout.
Okay, but what about what he said? And, you know, he's stopping and he's thinking, he's choosing his words carefully. It's in his language. François Gagnon asked the question. And for him to say, I was going with guys with ability, in the night in which those two guys played well, I mean, how are they supposed to react to that?
That one's fair. That's a fair point. Listen, Michel hasn't made a lot of mistakes this year. I think you would agree.
He's one of the candidates for Coach of the Year.
Yeah, he has not made a lot of mistakes. So he had a rough night. He was probably frustrated they lost. I understand what you're saying. I'm going to stand up for him this time. You know, if I thought it was really egregious, I'd rip into him. But it's not. He made a mistake, probably, by not using at least one of them. But I also think as a coach, and you rely on your staff too, you probably say, okay, who's been kicking butt in practice? So maybe those two guys hadn't been kicking butt in practice either when they practice a shootout, which a lot of teams do now when I go to their practice. I cannot believe how many teams are spending a lot of time practicing the shootout.
Well, the lost point and the Islanders win. The Islanders and the Canadians are now tied atop the East. The Islanders aren't going anywhere.
Look at Florida with Boston.
Well,
right?
Pierre, you work with Mike Milbury.
Yes, sir.
You saw his quotes? I don't know if you've seen his quotes today.
No, I didn't today.
I want to make sure they're accurate. Mike Milbury to CSN. Well, it's Comcast Sports New England.
Yep.
It would be a long shot for them to come to me. It's been a while since I've done the job. I wouldn't say no to anybody that came, but I'd have to look at it carefully. When I went to Long Island, I didn't know what I was getting into. I'd want to know exactly where I was going with this, who's running the show, what pieces were in place to play with. I'm not chomping at the bit. I'm happy what I'm doing. I've got a pretty good schedule, a little bit more free time. But when somebody dangles that carrot in front of you and gives you an opportunity like that, there's so few chances to get it. I'd have to say I'd strongly consider it if that came around. When he was asked about if he'd be interested in coaching the Bruins.
Well, he's tight with Cam, and he coached Cam, and I know he and Cam had a really good relationship. I can tell you that right now.
So is this real? If they don't get in?
I will say this, because I will defend Mike Milbury in this. I think Mike Milbury is a tremendous coach.
Chris Nyland loved playing for him.
I'm telling you straight up, because I coached against Mike, and I almost went to work for Mike in Boston as an assistant with Brian Sutter when I left Pittsburgh to go to Hartford. I can tell you that. So, and I've talked, this is going to be way out there. I know people are going to have a tough time digesting this. If I had gone to Minnesota, that's a lot of years ago, where I didn't get the job and Chuck Fletcher did, well, Mike Milbury was on the top of the list to come and coach. So I respect Mike very much as a coach. I don't think Mike's a manager. I think Mike's a coach.
Okay. So is this stuff real? If they don't get in, Julian's gone, Chiarelli's gone? You think that's real?
I would say, I can't say about the whole crew. It breaks my heart to say that because I really like both men tremendously. If they miss the playoffs, I would say the coaching staff's in trouble. If my friend Ray Shiro could get fired in Pittsburgh with the record that he had in Pittsburgh, I think anything can happen.
All right, those Bruins are in St. Louis tonight. The Canadians are in St. Louis on Tuesday. They're starting Malcolm Subban.
Yeah, I know. That's right. I saw that, and they're playing a young kid, Brian Ferland, out of Cornell. Who I actually 2 years ago, Doc Emmerich and I called the Cornell Harvard game at Lina Arena in Ithaca, New York, and Ferland definitely stood out. He's 6'2", about 220 pounds. He's born in Florida, Jacksonville, Florida. He's a good player. He's a big physical force, but this is really strange.
Well, yeah. Why wouldn't they have started him in Edmonton?
That's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. Really strange. Hey, you are going into a major hornet's nest in St. Louis, Derek. They're a good team in St. Louis. When they play there, they're a good team.
Just watching the Bruins situation from afar, it's like panic is setting in, and they've become so desperate, not just to win, but to try to stabilize things, that some goofy decisions are being made like the ones you're talking about.
It's hard to watch. It really is, because I know the people that are involved in it at the highest level. I don't know ownership well. I know them to say hello, but I mean, I know Cam really well. I obviously know Claude really well. Dougie Huda played for me. Joe Sacco and his brother I both had in hockey camp many, many moons ago before they went to Boston University. So, I mean, I know a lot of the guys there. It's hard. It's hard to see this happening because there's some mistakes being made because it's, I think more than anything else, it's probably pressure being brought to bear from ownership, which is fine. That's their right. That's ownership's right. That's what they're... I mean, every ownership group has a different way of managing, and forever, and Chris could probably speak to this, Nyland, more than anything else, the Jacobs family are very demanding in terms of what should happen with the group. That's just how it works. It's the Ilitches are different. They have high demands, but their managerial profile is a little bit different than with Jacobs.
Habs and Blue Jackets tomorrow night. They're going to see them in Columbus next week as well.
Yep.
What do you think?
Well, the one thing that's amazing to me is Columbus. They go into Pittsburgh last night and they win. And here's the thing. I mean, everybody's probably and I haven't listened to you today, and I apologize for that. I just getting back from Quebec. I drove my mother home, took Montreal here.
Hey, Sally.
and I'm heading out tomorrow to Chicago, so I didn't listen to the radio. We were just talking about a bunch of different things. But so I missed that. I missed listening to you. But, you know, Columbus... Forget about the Crosby fight with Brandon Dubinsky. Focus in on the three center icemen for Columbus. You start with Ryan Johansson, who I told you a long time ago was going to be a star. And then you look at Brandon Dubinsky, and then you look at Artemi Anisimov. That team is set up for a long time down the middle. They have to make some hard decisions about what they're going to do with their defense. And for Ryan Murray, who should be a really good player in the league, the injury stuff just doesn't go away. That's a problem. But their team should be set up for a long time to be good. And that win
this is a
huge.
Blip. This season's a blip.
It because of all the injuries. It really has been. I think J.D., again, biased because I worked with him and friendly with him for over 20 years. I think J.D.'s done a great job. Jarmo Kekäläinen is as good as anybody in the managerial position in terms of identifying talent. I didn't say he was the best GM because there's still things he needs to learn. But I do think in terms of evaluating young talent in particular, he's as good as any general manager there is in the league.
Nice to have Pierre McGuire in the same area code for a change. All the best, Pierre. Have a wonderful weekend. Thank you. All the best to the Ryan and the family, and we'll talk on Monday.
See how Pee Wee hockey works? He's already almost in Connecticut with his mom. As soon as they launched, they bolted. he was bawling his eyes out. He was mad. That's all right. It's all part. This is all part of learning. This is all part. You see Morgan Riley, you heard about that sound clip? Heard that sound bite?
Yeah.
This is all part of learning. So I told him, we sat down in the room before he left, and I said, here's the deal. You lost. How are you going to deal with it? How are you going to make sure you don't have that happen the next time around? What was your message to your teammates? What are you going to say to your coaches? How are you going to approach practice when you go to practice on Sunday afternoon? These are all things that kids need to learn. It's always not going to be easy. So those are some of the life lessons you got to teach. And I think it's really important for young people, whatever sport they play or whatever endeavor they go into, that they learn. Because it's not always going to be successful. You know, I've had five general manager's jobs within my reach. And I've been kicked in the freaking teeth five different times. How do you deal with it? You have to learn how to deal with that stuff.
Great stuff as always, Pierre. Have a wonderful weekend.
Oh, my gosh. You're going to the hip.
Yes,
you
sir.
Behave.
Yes, of course.
Oh, yes.
That's a long time ago.
I'm surprised Bobby Mack didn't call you up.
Yeah, he probably saw them in Toronto on Valentine's Day.
Are you going to go see Gord?
I'm waiting for Rod to okay this backstage because Rod is a humongous hip fan.
Yeah,
Rod,
we'll see.
If you can hook up, just tell Gord I said hi. He's an unbelievable gentleman, great person.
Melnick in the afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.